step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, all. Lady R/ here. We've been talking a lot about the missing 411, and I wanted to take you on a very sad, touching, something that's going to get you story about what it feels like when someone that you know goes missing like this. And unfortunately, you just don't get all the answers. For all the interest that there is out there for the people that go missing, we should take a moment to appreciate this person's story and know that although we're interested, they're feeling a lot of pain and heartache. It's about respect. So let's take a look at this case. This boy was acting strangely, but then on top of that, he vanishes in the Virginia wilderness. This is about the disappearance of 18-year-old Ty Sauer, a disappearance that set off a frantic search in a densely wooded area of the Shenandoah National Park. If you're interested in these kinds of stories, I know you've heard of Shenandoah. So let's dive in. The 911 call reached a dispatcher just after 10:45 p.m. Chandra Maxwell couldn't contain her panic. "My son just crashed his car on Skyline Drive," she wailed. "Please, he ran out of the car and now he's in the woods. Please, you've got to help me." The dispatcher at the Page County Sheriff's Office offered to transfer her to the headquarters for Shenandoah National Park. As the call beeped, Chandra peered into the darkness. Her 18-year-old son Ty was out there, somewhere, lost in the Virginia wilderness. Ty's father, John Sauer, swept the flashlight of his cell phone along the forest's edge, looking for him. It was a Thursday, April 22nd, 2021, and the couple had chased their son more than 300 miles from their home in Union Beach, New Jersey, to a scenic overlook in Shenandoah, a place none of them had been before. Somehow, Ty, an honor roll student just 2 months away from his high school graduation, had become one of the hundreds of people who go missing in a national park each year, a number that has risen as visitors flooded the national parks during the pandemic. And that's interesting because there were certain areas that were closed, but that's how the human behavior works. They needed to get out. So people were in the parks, but it probably caused a lot of challenges. For this, it was springtime in the Blue Ridge Mountains, the buds of the red oaks about to burst into bloom, though the nighttime temperature still hovered 4 degrees below freezing. John stuffed his hands into the pockets of his thin sweatshirt, the cold knifing his skin. How long could this boy survive out there? Well, let's talk about aliens. As they raced home from New Jersey to Virginia, Ty's parents couldn't stop thinking about their son's mental state. He'd been acting strangely for a few days. On Monday, he'd messaged his mom to ask why she'd sent aliens to his job. He worked at Five Below, where he stocked the shelves and manned the discount store's cash register. Early in the morning, when Chandra texted to remind him about afternoon track practice, Ty replied that he was already there. Later, he told his aunt that he'd been speaking with his grandfather, but his grandfather died in 2016. Chandra, 48, feared that Ty might be on drugs, but before she could take him to the hospital that Wednesday to try to figure out what was wrong, John found Ty unresponsive in their living room, in a catatonic state as he watched cartoons. So his father called the ambulance, and when the medics arrived, Ty had a seizure. At the hospital, it took 8 staff members to hold Ty down. He was stabilized with Benadryl and Ativan. The drug panel came back clean, according to his hospital records, though his parents told the emergency room staff that Ty appeared to be hallucinating. Well, he was discharged anyway. This confounded Chandra and John, who had hoped that he'd be held at the hospital overnight to help find out what exactly was going on. Chandra resolved to take Ty to his pediatrician. Try that instead. Wanting to keep him safe until she could get an appointment, she hid his car keys. But on Thursday morning, while Chandra was in the shower, Ty stole the keys to her 2006 Hyundai. Dressed in flannel pajama pants from Christmas and a blue sweatshirt, his feet still wrapped in yellow hospital booties, he'd tucked the protein shake he'd just made into the car's cup holder and backed out of the driveway. When his parents called to ask where he'd gone, Ty told them he was driving to a nearby convenience store. But more than an hour later, he still wasn't home. Chandra and John pinged his cell phone on an app that allowed them to see his location in real time. Well, Ty was in Philadelphia. They immediately followed, along with Chandra's sister and teenage nephew, in the sister's black Jeep Cherokee.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
The journey took them across 3 state lines and the district. In Pennsylvania, Ty bought a sandwich at Chick-fil-A. He paid $34.29 to be exact for gas. Traffic cameras in Maryland twice ticketed him for speeding. They nearly caught him in Washington as he wound past the White House and Capitol monuments, but he evaded all of them, continuing until he hit Luray in Virginia, and his location, along with his cell service, vanished. It was a hunch that prompted Chandra and John to return to Shenandoah. Though he hadn't been to many national parks, their son loved being outdoors. He once described it as his method for clearing his head. Maybe he'd seen the park entrance signed Luray, too. The couple, who worked in television production in New York, wended along famed Skyline Drive, the 105-mile scenic route through Shenandoah. It's nearly 200,000 acres. After a few miles up the Blue Ridge, they find Ty at the scenic overlook, listening to music in the locked car, the engine idling. Chandra hopped out of the SUV and pulled on the sedan's driver's side door. "Ty, it's Mom, me, let me in." John, 54, pounded his fists against the vehicle's back windows, trying to break the glass. But Ty only looked at them blankly. He twisted the key in the ignition, not understanding that the car was already on. Then he floored the sedan into reverse. He nearly ran over his dad. He swerved around a bend in the road, and at mile marker 37, he veered across the opposite lane and slammed into a low brick wall. The airbags even came out. Chandra and John followed in the SUV, only 30 seconds behind him. They quickly came upon the crash. The front bumper of the Elantra was twisted and mangled. The horn blared incessantly. Ty sprang from the car and sprinted into the forest. And it wasn't long before he was swallowed up by the darkness. John ripped the battery connection out of the car's ignition to quiet its horn. He worried that Ty wouldn't be able to hear their voices over its shriek. He started screaming his son's name into the woods, and he waited, listening for the fall of footsteps. Chandra waited in the SUV where she continued to talk to the dispatcher. Her voice was ragged, punctuated by sobs. The dispatcher promised to send up a ranger. She told Chandra to leave the hazard lights on. It's going to take just a little bit, the dispatcher said, but you just have to be patient, okay, because you are up in the park. I know, said the mom, but he's my son, and he's in these woods. The dispatcher reminded her, just take a deep breath and stay with us. Someone will be there soon. Melissa Moses was at park headquarters in Luray when the emergency message from dispatch sounded on her radio. Just like a small town, Shenandoah has its own law enforcement division. Moses is one of the rangers who protects the park from its 1.6 million visitors. She listened to the alert. A teen had crashed his car on Skyline Drive. She was the closest ranger, so she raced up the Blue Ridge in her park-issued SUV, lights and sirens blazing, to mile marker 37. Moses, 42, had worked for the National Park Service for 15 years. She'd been stationed at places like St. Louis, where she patrolled the country's smallest national park, the Gateway Arch, and Buffalo National River in Arkansas before she came to Shenandoah in 2016. Her husband worked as a ranger in the park, too. They'd both seen people go missing. She knew fatalities weren't uncommon. People had heart attacks on hot days. They drown in the swift rivers. They fell off ledges or intentionally disappeared into the forest. Some didn't want to be found. From 2007 to 2020, 3,020 people died on Park Service land, which encompasses more than 85 million acres. And this includes rivers, battlefields, monuments, seashores, and more. That's a death every 2 days, if you weren't counting. But more often, people were found unharmed. In the past 5 years, 16,000 search and rescue missions have been conducted, according to data obtained from the Park Service, which spent $20 million on these efforts. Shenandoah had 67, including ties, last year, up from 49 in 2020. The most important thing Moses knew was time. The sooner you find someone, the higher probability is that they will be alive. Moses has helped locate a mushroom hunter who lost his way while foraging for spring morels, and a few college students lugging Walmart gear with tags still attached, confused and separated from the rest of their group. It helped to know something about the person she was looking for, like what is this person experiencing right now? Where are their decision points? As she made plans to get the Elantra towed off the road, Moses asked Chandra and John about Ty. John talked about his mental state. According to the 61-page Park Service incident report, he said they had photos of the teen from their doorbell camera taken minutes before he disappeared on this mystifying drive. She learned that Ty had recently enrolled at Brookdale Community College, only 9 miles from his family home in Morningside Avenue. He'd seen how his mom, who designed on-screen graphics for the Drew Barrymore show and Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, was still struggling to pay off her student loan debt. He was excited to be up for a scholarship and that it would pay for his associate's degree. He'd already saved $1,600 from his job and hoped to transfer to Rutgers University someday. He told his parents he wanted to be a park ranger. So again, we have someone very interested in the woods. He's probably been there before. Something is wrong with him, but we'll have to see what goes on here. It's just, again, another person missing in the forest. When Ty was 13, he'd gained a younger brother after Chandra adopted her nephew, Kyle, who'd been taken away from her brother and his girlfriend during their battle with drug addiction. As Ty entered high school, he struggled with anxiety and his body image. He'd gained weight since being diagnosed with celiac disease in 2010 and was self-conscious about the acne that rashed his face. In January 2021, he'd started taking isotretinoin, the generic version of prescription drug Accutane. And that's to clear up his skin. If you guys don't know about Accutane, it's a very serious acne treatment. For women, they actually have to sign something saying they will not get pregnant during the time they're on it because of the risk of birth defects. It's that serious. So this is a big time drug that he's on. At 6'3", he was naturally athletic, playing football and throwing the discus and shot put on the university track team. He started lifting weights, managing to drop from 260 to 187, but he found the most solace in nature. So it sounds like he has big plans and he's on the right track. But what could have happened? He himself wrote in an essay, "If you ever feel as if life's currently too difficult or even too much, getting outdoors, going for a walk on the trail or a hike through the woods can get your mind back on track." With a better sense of tie, Moses left Chandra and John with two other rangers, one of whom had given Chandra her coat to ward off the chill. The couple checked into the Cardinal Inn in Luray, where they'd wait for any news of their son. Ty's cell phone location had last pinged near a trailhead more than a half a mile away. It was called Hannah Run, and that's where Moses and a second ranger began what is known as a hasty search of the immediate area. They scoured the spring grass for footprints and examined the dew in the mud, which Moses called track traps. They observed the leaves and branches on the trail to see if they'd been pushed to the side. They called out Ty's name. Moses knew that he had to be nearby. I mean, how far could he have walked? That's always the question, isn't it? It seemed like they would find him that night, but where? The forest revealed no answers. The rangers pushed through the thick brush and thorny vine. The moon so bright that they almost didn't need their headlamps to see the trail. So conditions were good. They listened for the snapping of twigs or the thud of sneakers as they've hiked 5 miles over the course of 3 hours, but only found silence. Then, the next morning, the Virginia State Police arrived with a bloodhound. Cynthia Cirque-Fear, Shenandoah's chief law enforcement ranger, was already on the Blue Ridge to lead operations. At 46, she had 23 years of experience and knew it was going to be a complicated rescue. The terrain in this part of the park was steep and unforgiving. The ground knotted with tree roots and studded with rocks. She'd set up a special command team with the Virginia Department of Emergency Management, which had called in more than 65 people from 13 law enforcement and volunteer groups. They became part of a rescue mission that would end up costing $66,000. Ty's friends and family were also rushing down from Union Beach. News of his disappearance had shaken the town. They were joined by complete strangers from far away as Michigan and Ohio, who'd seen the missing person flyer distributed by the park. In that flyer, Ty was dressed in his red graduation cap and gown, the white tassel falling at an angle. His skin was smooth. He was so young. He'd asked Chandra to pay extra to have the acne photoshopped from his cheeks and forehead. He looked great, happy, and excited about a future. Cirque-Fear understood why this image was so striking. She had an 18-year-old, too. When she saw Ty's picture, she saw the promise, the potential. But because the park had a formal rescue system, she couldn't allow these new volunteers to hike in the official search area where a half a dozen trails had been closed. This frustrated Chandra and John, who believed that more people looking for their son might bring him home faster, of course. But Cirque-Fear didn't want anyone else to get hurt. And that's always a challenge, too. When you have the professionals against the families, there are a lot of rules and different guidances that they need to follow as the professionals that sometimes the family doesn't understand. It's like someone's missing. Just do it already. But it's not always that easy. Cirque-Fear used data from a cell phone tower 16 miles away to verify Ty's last known location. Then the bloodhound, Mosby, smelled the Elantra in the teen's zippered wallet, stored in a plastic bag to preserve the scent. The dog loped along the wooded shoulder of Skyline Drive. After cutting into the forest and following the Appalachian Trail for a mile and a half, the hound stopped. The trail had gone cold. Cirque-Fear sent these updates to Ty's parents. Chandra was so distraught that she could barely bring herself to leave her room at the Cardinal Inn. Meanwhile, John made a plan to comb the outskirts of the official search area with his own family and friends. On the Blue Ridge, Cirque-Fear created a grid of where she thought Ty might be. The team began at the location where his cell phone had lost service. Groups with the tracking devices fanned out to look for clothing and footprints from his size 12 Air Force One sneakers. Moses, the first ranger at the scene, was already back on Hannah Run, hiking towards the park's eastern boundary. That was 5 miles away. Cirque-Fear also relied on an 11-page questionnaire that looked at age and physical ability, personal habits, and other information to determine what Ty might be thinking. They're trying to get in his head. She says, if we don't know what the person's intent is when they go missing, it can make things very challenging. The behavior of someone who has gone missing and wants to be found is very different than someone who's gone missing and doesn't want to be found. Another category on Cirque Fear's form was mental condition. Chandra now suspected that Ty's bizarre behavior might be tied to the medication he was taking for that acne. The teen's dermatologist had recently upped his dosage of isotretinoin, which had been blamed for mental health issues and complaints to the FDA. Drug makers have long maintained there's no direct link between this and depression or suicide. Even so, Ty had read the pamphlet, signed the pink waiver, called iPledge, acknowledging that he understood that these were among the risks of taking isotretinoin. Chandra had also read the form. I mean, this kind of medicine, guys, is very serious. I'm seeing a fuzzy line here. Could it be to blame? Or is it really safe like they say, even though you're signing a waiver because it's so dangerous? Just pointing that out again. At the end of the day, no one knows if isotretinoin caused these behaviors or if they would have happened if the person didn't take it. Things like depression, mental problems, things like that. But even if his altered state was because of this medicine, and that's what kind of state he was in, Chandra warned the rescue team that he was fit. He loved hiking on the weekends. He did it often. He biked almost 25 miles a day. Any of you out there biking 25 miles a day? I bet you don't think that you're going to get lost while on a trail hiking, right? But because Ty was this way, his mom knew that he could be far beyond where the rescuers thought he might be. She would tell them, wherever you think he is, you're going to have to look further. And moms know, right? Well, on a Saturday afternoon, this was about 36 hours after he had gone missing, Ty, his belongings were found scattered in a nearly straight line in the woods, about 2 miles north of where he'd crashed his mother's car. Okay, so 2 miles, all right. First was Ty's Nike hoodie spread on the forest floor, a flash of navy beyond a cluster of spindling saplings. Then came his blue pajama pants printed with igloos, snowmen, and polar bears, with his left Air Force One sneaker. A ways farther on was his right sneaker. It was wedged in a tree trunk as if it had gotten caught in mid-step, and he just kept walking and left it behind. Finally was his red cell phone, sheathed in its black case. It was discovered on a hill, choked with mountain laurel. A police officer attempted to turn it on, but the screen was cracked. The battery was drained. But still, there'd been enough power for the phone to send out an alert. At first, Chandra and John had been hopeful it was Ty reaching for help. A Park Service official told Chandra these finds were good news. There were 15 ground teams, including 7 search dogs, looking for Ty. The official guessed that rescuers would find Ty within a few hours. But guess what? They didn't. As night fell again and temperatures dropped into the 30s, there was no sign of her son. Hope, Chandra said later, it was a knife in the heart. By Monday morning, the search was entering its fourth day. The teams of professionals, dressed in thick brush jackets and baklavas, had covered roughly 1,000 miles, but they remained stumped. I mean, 1,000 miles. Just get your head around that. So did the search dogs, who'd been thrown off by rainfall. The bad weather had shortened a helicopter flight over the area, which park officials worried wouldn't be effective anyway. The forest canopy was just too thick. John, hiking through swarms of black butterflies, continued combing the fringes of the search area in case Ty had walked even further than anyone expected that day. He told Chandra it was about a 50-50 whether their son would be found alive. They had to have hope, but from her hotel room, Chandra could only picture him freezing to death. At headquarters in Luray, the Park Service had called the preeminent expert on lost person behavior, Robert Koester. Based out of Charlottesville. He had revolutionized the field of study, writing the first book about how to find people who have gone missing. And he says, I call it probabilistic thinking. I don't expect our missing subjects to make rational decisions. You're in a fight or flight mode. You'll never know exactly where that subject is, but you'll figure out a bunch of different likely places. The land nudges people into what is usually a path of least resistance. Based on where Ty's possessions had been found, Coaster helped the team analyze the mountainous terrain to create rings of probability for where this teen might be. The land to be searched grew more vast with each additional ring, sort of resembled a dartboard. Looking at decision points within each ring on the map, Coaster helped hypothesize where Ty might have walked next. According to his research, that was likely to be along a trail, a ridge, or even a gully. But rather than following the curve of a geographical feature like a stream, steering toward a mountaintop, or simply staying put, Ty had bushwhacked straight through the wilderness. He'd traveled more than 3 miles from where he'd crashed and a mile from his discarded sweatshirt. It was 2:53 p.m. on April 26th. One of the search teams discovered him near the Catlett Mountain and Hazel Mountain trails, about 200 yards off a pathway, hidden by a screen of tall brush. He was reclined against a fallen tree in his boxer briefs, his arms plunged through the legs of the Nike shorts he'd been wearing beneath his pajama bottoms, trying to use it as a makeshift shirt for warmth. The right side of his head rested against the tree, the hospital booties covering his socks. And I'm going to interrupt myself here and ask you all out there this question. If he's traversing, not even on a trail, straight through the woods, how are those hospital booties still covering his socks? Just something to think about. They find him. They call his name. He doesn't respond. Fast forward to the settling into the new reality. Chandra, the mom, now knows how much her son's heart weighs. It's 290 grams. His brain, 1,540 grams. She knows that his right lung was heavier than the left, and that when he was found, he had larvae in his left eye. She knows he died of hypothermia with blunt force injuries. At first, the coroner hadn't been able to tell her what happened. Only later did she confide to Chandra that he'd probably died that first night that he went missing. But there was so much that she and her husband didn't know, would never know, after they returned to Morningside Avenue without their son. As they grieved, they considered suing the drug company that manufactured the isotretinoin he was taking. But it would be nearly impossible to prove there was a link between this medication and his behavior. Two lawyers had separately told them as much, and Ty had signed the waiver saying that he understood the risks. That's why they have you do that, guys. It released the company from any liability of these potential dangers. Chandra and John thought about suing the hospital, too, for discharging Ty too soon. He had had a seizure, after all. But the lawyers didn't think that was a strong case either. And so every morning, Chandra wakes up and rewatches Ty's old Snapchat stories. In those few seconds of video, her son is returned to her. There he is. He's gesturing to the full gas meter on his car, or chatting about philosophy and final exams, or riding his bike on a trail near their home, flipping the camera to show the ground whipping beneath his tires. She keeps the brown paper evidence bags in his locked bedroom, which still smells like him. The bottoms of the bags are thick with mountain dirt. Inside are the gas receipt, the Chick-fil-A bag, Ty's white Air Force Ones, his flannel pajama bottoms, the fabric ripped and stained with blood and earth. And that's all she has left, and that's the end of this one missing person story of so many. So many people go missing without any explanation at all. At least here they have an idea of what it could have been that caused this strange race into the wilderness and then death. But what about all the people that go missing? What about the strange situation here? Do you believe that it was the medicine? Could be. What do you think? Why were his hospital little booties still on? How could that even be? Anyway, something to think about in this mysterious missing 411 situation. We are all interested. Thank God we're not all as sad as the parents of Ty. This is Lady R Slash. Keep on listening. We always have more stories to share.